This is the daily text for February the 18th, 2016. Are we rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell? Matthew 1, 7 through 11. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Ammon. Ammon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. Consider this. Today, in the genealogy of the Son of God, we come to another tortured era of the people of God. Solomon's 40-year reign as king of Israel ended badly because of his unfaithfulness to the Lord. The unity of the 12 tribes swayed in the balance. All eyes focused on Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, the one in line to inherit the throne. What kind of king would he be? Jeroboam, the representative of the 10 southern tribes, came to Rehoboam and promised him their loyalty while asking for more humane treatment for the people. The elders of Judah counseled Rehoboam to listen to Jeroboam. Rehoboam instead sought the counsel of his younger peers, who told him to lower the boom on the 10 tribes. Interestingly, Rehoboam responded more in the tradition of Pharaoh than the leadership of God's people. Hear 1 Kings 12, 13, and 14. The king answered the people harshly. Rejecting the advice given him by the elders, he followed the advice of the young men and said, "My father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions." With that, the die was cast. The split was imminent. The 10 tribes, collectively known as Israel, broke away and became the southern kingdom led by Jeroboam. Rehoboam returned to Jerusalem, where he ruled over the northern kingdom known as Judah. From this point forward, the tribes plunged into civil war, worshiping false gods, entering into protection deals with foreign nations, and otherwise disintegrating into an oblivion. In the illustrious words of Merle Haggard, one of the great theologians of country music, they were now rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell. From this point forward, the kings on either side of the divide are introduced to us quite simply along these lines. Abijah, 1 Kings 15:3. He committed all the sins his father had done before him. His heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his forefather had been. Asa, 1 Kings 15:11. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David had done. Ahab, 1 Kings 16:29 and 30. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, son of Omri, became king of Israel, and he reigned in Samaria over Israel 22 years. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. Hezekiah and Josiah are two bright spots, but not enough to turn back the tide of the terrors of exile. So why all of this? Aren't 1 and 2 Kings just more flyover country in the Bible? I suppose, if you want to read the Bible like a fifth grader, but we are learning to read the Bible for God, right? And to read it for God means it all matters, and it's worthy of the rest of our lives to apply ourselves to understanding it. Okay, that's the mildly shaming answer. The bigger reason is because we are turning the page into the story of the King of Kings. Remember how God warned the Israelites that they did not need a king because of all it would lead to? God knew their personal and collective lives would be reduced to the pursuit of personal wealth and national security by any way they could secure it, from calling on Baal for rain to making pacts with Babylon for protection. Those two pursuits sum up the sad saga of Israel. Strangely enough, isn't that our big storyline too? Personal wealth and national security, by any way we can secure it, it always leads to exile. It brings a fresh perspective to Jesus' clarion call. The time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The questions. Number one, how is your grasp of this portion of our story, 1 and 2 Kings? How do you see that it matters? It's a challenging portion of Scripture to grasp. Number two, personal wealth and national security. Our common quest from the beginning up to the present day, what would it mean to trust God for our personal well-being and our national security? What does the kingdom of God have to say about national security? And number three, it's interesting to consider that just following the genealogy, we will meet the Gentile kings, known as the Magi, and also the despot King Herod. How is Jesus going to be distinctively different as a king? What about his kingdom?